What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are talking about responding to church hurt. And I don't mean that you stubbed your toe while you're at church. Oh, I mean you were at a church and something happened that you were very hurt by. And this is unfortunately a reality of us being Christians who are still growing in sanctification, going to a corporate gathering with other Christians who are also growing in their sanctification. The reality is that church hurt is just inevitable to a certain degree. I don't want to sound like a doomsdayer, but I mean, it just seems like a high likelihood if I'm not perfectly like Christ and you're not perfectly like Christ, that we're going to hurt each other at some point if we're close enough to each other and fellowshipping together. This has come up over and over in different contexts. And I was talking with a student recently who was just kind of in a precarious place with their pastor. And there is kind of this weird personal/professional line for the student. And we were trying to think through like how to honor the Lord well in that context. I was with another buddy. Seriously, this is all within the past couple of weeks. Another buddy. We were at In-N-Out Burger. Woohoo! And he was just sharing with me what life was like at one of the Acts 29 churches that he attended and how it really ended abruptly. And he had to leave and try to honor the pastoral leadership that was there. And it was really hurtful for him. It was hurtful for those that he was ministering to. I've had friends in my life group now that had to leave a church because of immorality on church staff, and kind of the leadership just exploded and really hindered the church from growth. Many of you could think of pastors that have fallen in very public ways, but you could also think of pastors that were just very hurtful and maybe somewhat controlling. I've been on staff at 3 different churches, and I won't give you the names of them, so you're not Googling them. But I was on staff an undergraduate as a youth pastor, and it was a really small church, think like 60 to 100, one senior pastor, and we had 2 part-time associates and myself. And you may be wondering, like, well, why so many? Well, because we would get paid $25 a week. Seriously, I think I got paid $100 a month. And this isn't back during the Great Depression. This is in 2008, 9, 10, around that area. So one of our associate pastors unilaterally decided that he was going to start a church. And God was calling him to start a church. No one could stop him. And where was he going to start the church? The other side of town, the nicer part of town. And who's going with him? Well, the core members of the church. And I'll never forget sitting in my living room, and he's 20 years my senior, just saying, hey, Greg, I really feel God's leading us to do this. And I just said, well, it just seems a lot like a church split and not like a church launch or plant. And the next Sunday, my pastor, senior pastor, preached from a text, I think it's in Proverbs, where there are 7 things that are an abomination to the Lord. Do you remember that passage? And one of them is, the King James Version says, he that soweth discord among the brethren. And it was a very roundabout way of my pastor addressing what was kind of a divisiveness on behalf of our associate. It was hurtful when he left. He took the younger families with him. That church plant ended up dissolving, of course. So it was really just a hurtful, uncomfortable situation. You know, I think many of us could fill in the blank with our own church hurt story. You've been in church long enough, many of you, where you have been hurt by church leadership or another church member. And I think if you're being candid and somewhat humble, you have also hurt other people. You are not exempt from this, whether you know it or not, or whether you would blame them or not, that you are the reason why others have been hurt and perhaps even left that church. And I wonder, at the heart of the issue, I wonder what really is driving church hurt. And remember biblical counseling, we talk about the root and the fruit issue. I want you to think of the fruit issue as the manifestation and the symptom of something else going on at the heart level. The Bible describes what we do comes from our heart. So when we talk about different things, I want you to kind of get in that habit of analyzing a problem biblically and getting to the root of the issue. The root of the issue does mean that really hurt is a symptom of something deeper that's going on. And let's dig a little bit into the deeper aspect. I don't want to just cultivate more resentment in this episode, but I want you to dissect what's going on when you're hurt by a church. And so let me give you a couple of heart issues and heart themes that come up when we're hurt by churches. First of all, think of fear of man and how fear of man feeds me being hurt by church. Some people greatly respect their leadership to the point of putting them on a pedestal. Does the approval of your pastors mean so much to you that when they do something very small, you're hurt by it? He didn't call me on my middle of the year birthday. Ooh. Pastor knows that today is the third year plus two since my dog died and I didn't hear from him. Oh, if I'm that sensitive about my pastor, honestly, I'm going to be hurt by him quite easily and very quickly. He's going to seem insensitive to me because he didn't remember that today is when my lizard died when I was 10 and every year, you know, like that type. I know that seems like a silly thing, but fear of man leads us to poor relationship skills and we're overly needy. We need our pastors to be more than really what they're called to be. Or fear of man makes me overly needy with people in the congregation where I'm too desirous of other people's approval. And when they do something small or they seemingly are inconsiderate, I'm very hurt by that. You know, this may seem weird to you, but when I'm at Faith Community Church, my local church, and someone comes in and they're like, oh, Dr. Gifford, I listened to your Transform podcast, which is awesome, by the way. I've read your books. You are so awesome. I'm like, thank you. But I'm not that awesome. And if you think I'm that awesome, I will disappoint you here pretty quickly. Wow, what a buzzkill, man. No, I just know that if I'm put on a pedestal by someone, oftentimes that person is the first to be disappointed in me. And when someone new to our church is like, I've never had this good of preaching, this good of shepherding, and I love you. I love this church. I love it. I'm like, oh man, this is not good because I think they're going to be disappointed here pretty quick when the honeymoon phase wears off. When we fear man, we become more needy and more sensitive. So are you a fearer of men and that is why you're hurt by churches? You got to ask that. Are you a controlling person? Do you always have to have it your way? You worship control. So you're unrelenting. You don't know how to yield well. You don't know how to bear with one another. Every little thing in the church is something you're willing to go to war for. The bulletin, the time of a service. Is it Awana on Wednesday or Tuesday? Like that type of stuff you're just willing to throw down for. So you are a worshiper of control and it comes across in this divisiveness. And so you sow seeds of discord and people get rattled with you quite easily because you don't know how to compromise well and prefer other people and bear with them and not push your own agenda. So think through that. What are you worshiping that leads to this church hurt? You know, my observations are that some church hurt is a legitimate sin and it should be addressed as such. That is the black and white issues of the scripture. But most of it is not a black and white issue of the scripture. From my experience, it's a difference of conviction, meaning that you interpret a passage one way and I interpret it another way, or this is more like a wisdom issue rather than even a convictional issue. So you have to be able to say, look, I'm not going to die on that hill because this is my opinion, not even a biblical absolute. And if you don't know the difference between first level doctrines and second level doctrines, then stay tuned because I'll do more on that in the future. But there is a difference in what we're willing to fight for and what we won't fight for. Lastly, another observation is that some church hurt is because I have poor relationship skills and I'm being too sensitive. It's so true. It's so true. Just watch the way that that unfolds. And generally, this isn't only true in church, it's true in relationships. So if you are hurt in relationships easily, then that speaks more to you than it does to those in the relationships with you. Or if you are more hurt by churches, then it speaks more of you than the churches. That means you lack relationship skills to persevere in long-term relationships. That's what that means. So you're too sensitive, or I'm too sensitive, and every little thing that happens, I'm offended by, and I'm kind of like a super dramatic person, and all of the people around me kind of get sick of that after a period of time, and they just stop trying to placate me, and they just live their merry lives, as they should. So what has to happen is not that every church needs to change and kowtow to me. It's that I need to grow in my relationship skills. And that's hard to say, isn't it? So I have to ask myself questions like, do I see disagreement as betrayal? Am I just wanting people to affirm me all the time? Do I have high expectations of people? And because that's true, both church members and pastors, they always let me down. And I just can't trust anybody. I'll say things like that. I just can't trust anybody. It's like, well, no, you have overly high expectations of people. Or you fear man and have high expectations of people and thus are needy, and people never are your ultimate rock and refuge. They're never going to be that biblically. So why are you hurt so much? Well, because you have poor relationship skills. We got to take a break. I hope that your curiosity is at least piqued, because we are going to turn the corner to how should I respond to church hurt? So we'll be right back.
All right, we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And real quick, let me mention this. If you're a high school student and you're listening to this, you should know that Dr. Gifford teaches biblical counseling at the Masters University, a place that ranks 6th nationwide for career preparation. And that is a statistic, according to the Wall Street Journal, a secular publication, calls the Masters University one of the top institutions in the country for career preparation. That's a very, very, very big deal. And if you want to help people the way Greg does, there's no better place. You can learn more right now at masters.edu/transformed. Now, back to what Dr. Gifford's saying about church hurt. Man, that stuff that he's talking about, being overly sensitive, might sting a little bit, right? Because honestly, nobody wants to hear that. That maybe the problem could be us. But Greg's doing something important here. If you slow down and listen to what he's saying, he's not validating our hurt feelings. He's helping us to ask harder questions about what's really going on underneath all of that. When he talked about putting pastors on pedestals, I think a lot of us have been there. We've expected our church leaders to be mind readers, to remember every detail of our lives, to never disappoint us. And when they inevitably do, because they're human, we're crushed. And I think if that's a place that you found yourself in, this episode is worth listening to. And listen, here at Fortis Institute, we're committed to this kind of honest biblical approach to our problems. Not the kind that just makes you feel better, but the kind that actually helps you grow. Because honestly, real transformation is never going to happen if we avoid the uncomfortable questions. It happens when we lean into them. So if you want more content like this, content that challenges you to look in the mirror instead of just pointing fingers, check out Fortis Plus, because we're releasing content like this every single day. It's biblical wisdom from people who have been doing this for years. Download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps, or visit fortisplus.org right now. And hey, if this ministry matters to you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We would be extremely grateful for that. You can find out more information right now about what it would look like in your life to do that at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues to unpack how we really should respond when church hurts us. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for your hard work. Thanks for your resources. Thanks for plugging lies my therapist told me. As Jimmy has mentioned and Todd has mentioned, it is on sale wherever you can find books. Go grab it, recommend it, share it with a friend. Check it out from your public library. That sounds pretty fun to say. Just make sure that you're reading it, because I really do think that we are at the end of an era with Christians being gripped by the secular therapeutic. God's word has better answers. So back to today's episode, we've been talking about church hurt it's this unfortunate reality. And it's almost like we should arm ourselves with this way of thinking that church hurt is inevitable. Not that we want to be in really awful, bad churches, but if you have the most godly of people together in one location, there's still going to be sin as part of that. So you're managing your expectations that church hurt is really part of life in that way. Now, I want to finish this last segment by giving you responses, but what did I say in our first segment? That you really should just pause and evaluate what's going on at the heart issue. What are you wanting? What are you worshiping that leads you to being hurt? Some church hurt is sinful. Some church hurt is a difference of opinions, and we haven't learned how to deal with that well. And then lastly, I need to grow in relationship skills. If I am at my third church and I'm seeing more church hurt, it's probably something I've done, in all honesty. So what are the responses that I should take? Well, number one, make every effort to be a peacemaker and to work through conflict. Make every effort to be a peacemaker. I want to give you a principle that comes from Philippians chapter 4. And Paul is talking to a very godly church. Remember, the church at Philippi is a church that supported Paul. They were fellowshippers and partakers with him. And he brings up two ladies in this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. This is the reality that we are encouraging these two ladies to agree in the Lord. You have to fight for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. You got to fight for that. You have to be diligent to preserve the unity of the body of Christ. Before you are quick to pull the trigger on leaving a church and letting church hurt be the reason why, work on being a godly peacemaker. Work on being humble and bearing with one another. Work on persevering through that. The reality, and I tell this to my students all the time, the reality is that if you don't learn how to develop conflict resolution skills, you're going to have to change relationships every 3 or 4 years. And that includes churches. Someone's going to say something mean and insensitive and unkind, and you're going to think, okay, I'm leaving. Oh, I'll start my own church at home. Oh. Guys, we have to be better peacemakers. And don't pull the trigger on leaving until you've exhausted all of your efforts, reasonable efforts, to resolve that conflict. Put off resentment, and if it's not possible, then and only then, do you move to another church and spend some time regrouping. A couple of things when church hurt occurs is that going to church is a little sensitive, in all fairness. And for those that have been hurt by churches and they're coming to my church where I fellowship, I understand, like, they're kind of leaving a war zone and they need a little respite, some R&R, as it were. I want to just provide a space for them to do that. When you can't resolve peace and it's apparent that you need to move on, then move on. And if you leave on Wednesday of the former week from your former church, then guess where you're going to be on Sunday? At a new local church. Seriously. You're at a new local church. I want you to just be very candid that if you drop out of church overall, that is a greater testimony of your immaturity than it is of the church. So when I hear someone say, well, I stopped going to church because of what happened, it's like, well, that means you were probably a part of the problem to begin with, because only an immature believer would say, I give up on church. Seriously, that is an immature believer thing to say. So even if I'm hurt deeply, if faith community sinned against me deeply, then the next Sunday, my family and I would be at a different church starting that process over again. And I don't foresee that. I love my church. I want to be at my church forever. But the reality is that I also know that I have to be in church and you have to be in church. So if you've been hurt to the degree of leaving a church, then immediately go to another local church and begin that time of refreshment, regrouping. Be slow to involve yourself in ministry. Yeah, you can do little things, usher here, pick up chairs there, but don't jump back in like elbow deep into children's ministry again. Like, just take a second and regroup. And we want you to be restored back to a place of joy. When 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about the gifts that God has given us, he says that we're just stewards of the varied grace of God. You're a conduit of that grace. this new local church, I don't have to become its elder, pastor, women's ministry leader. I don't have to be any of that. I'm just coming to serve and be a good congregant. So do that. Find your way of jumping into that next local church. Also know that the pastoral leadership of that new church should be somewhat discerning about you. So if you showed up at our church and said, hey, Greg, just so you know, I had a really bad experience at my former church and kind of left with some animosity, then there is a level of me that should say, well, I just want to make sure you don't bring that here. I'm not publicly saying that, but I want to be discerning about that. So I'm not going to appoint you over the men's ministry. I'm not going to ask if you could preach at our church on week three. Rather, I want you to come and be faithful and get involved. And as you demonstrate that, whatever happened at your former church happened, but I just want to make sure that you're being faithful before you step into any leadership positions at our church. So just be sensitive to that. Be wise about that and want that, desire that. That's discernment on behalf of your pastors. So first of all, I've said, make sure you're working through peace, move to another local church immediately. Step three is don't bring others into the drama. It's always weird. We know that there's beef with people when they leave the church. But if you've gone through this, we've tried to work it out. We're going on to another church. When I see you at Trader Joe's, actually, I don't go to Trader Joe's, sorry. When I see you at the Harley Davidson dealership, oh yeah. Hey man, how come you haven't been at church? It's just best to say, you know what? We had some personal disagreements we were unable to work through and now we're fellowshipping at so-and-so. Perfect. But you don't have to get into the details of what happened. And in fact, I don't even want to know whose fault it was just because I don't know all the details and I don't want to begin to be an arbiter of the truth right here. Practice peace. Romans 14:19, that you're doing what leads to mutual upbuilding. I'm not going to talk bad about that church. And I'm not going to talk bad about that person at that church or the leadership at that church. I'm just going to graciously move on. If this is not an absolute of the faith, and this is not a church discipline, black and white issue of the text, then I'm just going to graciously move on and I'm not going to bring anybody else into it. I'm going to respect the unity of that church. We are not Martin Luther, and we are not nailing our 95 thesis to the wall of the church. Ting, 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 ting. This is why pianos should be allowed in the service. Ting, 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 ting. This is why Awana should be on Wednesday night. Ting, 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 ting. That's not what we're doing. We just graciously move on and we don't bring other people into the fray. So if you begin to slander that church and talk bad about them, their leadership, their people, it really is a greater testimony to your own immaturity than it is to that church, to them actually being wrong and sinful. Okay, so that's number three. Don't bring others into the drama. Number four, if this happens enough, if you've done this two or three times, you need to have that Spider-Man moment in your life. You know where he gets bit by the spider? And he begins to look at his hands. You need to have the Spider-Man moment in your life and you need to ask yourself some really tough questions because either you have picked all of the bad churches that exist in America or there's something off about your relationship skills. And my guess is if it's been 10 years and three churches in one town, it's probably you. The reality is you just have to say, I have an issue. I have an issue. This isn't all the churches in America. It's me. I'm sorry to tell you guys that. If you're humble about it, it can change. If you're not humble about it, you're going to end up having to start your own church. That's the only way it's going to work. And then you won't like that church in about 6 years. So you have to just be humble and say, Lord, please help me to grow. Obviously, something is off about my relationship skills, what I'm worshiping and my expectations that's leading me to want to bounce from church to church. But think of it this way, guys, the local church is the most important organization on this earth, not the Boys and Girls Club, not the Masters University, not Fortis, and all of those are important. But the reality is that the local church is the most important. So if you are hurt by the church, don't give up on the church. The church is the best organization for you to partner with, to share your life with, to get your kids' lives involved with. I don't want my boys to find their community on a sports team. I want them to find it in their local church. We will be the ones to miss out if we let church hurt prevent us from being involved in our local churches. So if you need to, re-listen to this last segment, but most importantly, put into practice this concept of leaning back into church, restarting that, and evaluating areas in your life where you need to grow. So let me pray for us that we would all be humble and that God would continue to give us comfort. Lord, we do pray that in the hurt, to a degree, we would be able to bear and to be tough, to persevere. We ask for your comfort that in the times of hurt at church, that we could just persevere and we're not greatly shaken by that. Lord, I do pray for those that have been significantly sinned against, that they would be able to look past the sins of men to you and see your better plan is that we are part of local churches. So give them grace to join that local church, to persevere in being part of a local church. And may you be glorified in all of our lives as we are partnering with local churches. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for today. We praise you for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.